The Bible's full of miracles.
Amen.
And then if you really study, you see that they're no accident. Miracles aren't just accidents that happen to some and not others. Miracles have some real foundation. There's reasons for miracles in the Bible, so let's talk about them. As it pertains to our harvest. As we said, seed time is maybe a little simpler in many ways. Sometimes it needs to be led by the Holy Spirit. Other times, you can just plant seed anytime, anywhere you want to. So God loves it when people just scatter more than it looks like they ought to. And then they still increase. So being generous anytime you want to is great. And then sometimes you might be led particularly to sow a seed or whatever. But then harvest, even more so, it requires the Holy Spirit. You do have to be led by the Spirit in order to harvest in your financial life. Or any aspect of life, really. But if you think about a natural farmer or a natural gardener, they have to plant seed, and that was pretty simple. Water that seed, that's just kind of monotonous. Do a few other things to keep the plant ready. And then when harvest season comes, they don't just pick everything at once. Most crops, I mean, you could for wheat, rice, you just kind of harvest the whole thing at once. But a lot of crops, you have to pick only the ripe ones. So harvesting requires a little bit more observance and following some visible thing. So we could say harvesting in spiritual things requires you to follow the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To tell somebody about Jesus is easy. Tell everybody. To know which one to lead into the kingdom in any particular moment requires being led by the Spirit.
Amen.
You have to know who's responded, who's right. You have to detect that they're open. You have to know how to hook the fish that's bitten. So harvesting, even in souls, takes a little more spiritual leading of the Holy Spirit. Same thing in the money realm. Harvesting in finances sometimes requires more leading of the Holy Spirit. So if you want miracles in your life, if you want to experience the abundance in full, then you're going to have to be led by the Spirit, and you'll have to practice being led by the Spirit.
Amen.
You'll have to get familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit. You'll have to distinguish between your own reasoning and the Lord. Many people have reasoned themselves in the name of the Lord. Well, I just know that this is the Lord. Well, sometimes it could be you, and you have to distinguish. And that takes spiritual practice so that you become adept and skilled at hearing the voice of God versus your own brain. The difficulty is because they kind of sound the same. Hearing from God and hearing from yourself sounds the same. It all has to do with where it came from. Did it come from your brain or did it come from your spirit? You have to know the difference. So that takes practice. But let's just say that that's the goal. You need to have a real belief that that's necessary and possible. And then you need to start following the Holy Spirit. He leads you from the inside, not the outside. He leads you from your spirit man, not from your flesh man or your reasoning man. He leads you from in the inward witness rather than the outward signals. Lord, give me a sign. Signal me. Which company should I go for? Which job should I take? Just give me a sign. Let somebody call me. Well, that's not really God's best way to lead you. He'll put up with baby Christians and give them a sign occasionally, but that's really not the way we do it. So you're going to have to learn. Anyway, so let's just see some examples of how people prospered when they followed God. Harvesting requires faith. We talked about Sunday. Harvesting requires that you put in the sickle. So the crop's growing. We got crops everywhere. If you've sowed financial seed into the kingdom, you've got crop. You've got harvest. You've got growth. And then as soon as you need the thing, as soon as you have a need or as soon as you have a faith project, you decide with the Holy Spirit, it's time to put the sickle in. And putting the sickle in requires... Everybody know what a sickle is?
Uh-huh.
If you don't, you have to look it up. I've never used one, but I've seen it used.
It looks dangerous.
Yeah. It could be dangerous. The sickle requires strength, effort, sweat. Requires faith. Putting in the sickle for your harvest requires a step of faith. Requires putting yourself on the line. Requires simple faith. And so as we trust God, we're also going to have to follow His Spirit. Trusting God is not a blind action. Trusting God is not just a blind exercise. I'm just trusting God. I just know He'll take care of me. Trusting God means that I'm listening for His leading. I trust Him enough to tell me what to do, and I got to hear Him, and then I got to do it. 1 Kings chapter 17 says, Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." So this is when Ahab had done some evil things. He was about to get punished in his whole kingdom with a drought. And as you know, James says that Elijah prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain.
Right.
You don't see his prayer in here. Here he just tells him what's about to happen. But he had already prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. Then he goes and gives him the command. And then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it'll be that you shall drink from that brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So in the middle of a drought, God had a plan to take care of him. And so you're a righteous man just like he was. And God will take care of you even in the midst. If nobody else gets taken care of, you can get taken care of. And so you got to anchor on this that the Lord will take care of you. Now, it's not blind. It's not just coasting. Well, the Lord will take care of me somehow. He will, but He might want to tell you something. Here He commanded him to go somewhere. Get away from here and turn eastward. Hide by the brook and it'll be that you'll drink from the brook. Commanded the ravens to feed you there. God commanded birds to bring him food. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He obeyed. In times of need, you're going to have to hear from God and obey the word of the Lord. If you want to be cared for, you'll have to hear and obey. You can obey scripture, like thou shalt work. You will have to go to work. You'll have to follow some other money principles. You'll have to get a right attitude about money. You'll have to learn. You'll have to seek the kingdom. There's a bunch of little things that say that you have to do if you're going to prosper.
Amen.
So you can hear the scripture or you can hear the Spirit speak to you. Say, turn left, turn right, go there, do this. Go make this sale. Go to this company, knock on this door, make this phone call. Could be simple things like that. Could be start your business finally. Could be big steps. Could be leave one business, go to the next business. But you got to know these things. You got to hear for sure. Here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to just figure things out all on your own. Well, I hate this job. I don't like this job. I don't like these people I've worked with. I'm going to find me something else. You're not following the Lord. That's dangerous right there. Well, I just don't like what I'm doing, you know. What would you like? Well, I think I want to be a secret shopper. Oh, you can't do that. Well, I want to go to restaurants and, you know. I like pizza. I want to work at a pizza parlor. Well, people come up with stuff they like, and then they look at everything else they don't like. Well, what do you like? Well, what do you want to do for work? What would make you happy at work? What would you like? And usually people think first of some hobby that they like, you know. Look, most work is work. Most work takes effort. The happiness in work is the work itself. It's the doing of the deed. It's the accomplishing of something. That's happiness. Happiness is not just an easy job. Happiness is a productive job. So what you and I, we've done teaching on this, but you have to find what you're good at. You have to find some grace. You have to find something that you can flourish in. And maybe you don't have much. Maybe you feel like, you know, I don't really have any great skills. Well, find a couple that you kind of have average skills in and start doing it well. And then I would encourage you, give yourself over to a job, a skill set, a grace, an ability, an arena. Give yourself over to it. Learn all you can. Become an expert.
Amen.
Listen, wealthy people always become pretty good at what they do. So find something you can become pretty good at and go for it.
Amen.
Doesn't have to be some grand thing. But that's a way to get wealthy. That's a way to really kind of start enjoying what you do. If you're sweeping floors, feel good about it.
That's right.
Sweep the floor wonderfully.
Amen.
Hey, look, sweeping floors has benefits.
Amen.
You can sing to the Lord and pray in tongues all day long.
Amen.
You don't have to answer a phone, talk to anybody probably. There's benefits everywhere you go in every job. So the main thing is that you're productive, that you feel good about doing something, and just do it well. And then follow the Lord. If the Lord doesn't tell you anywhere else to go or what else to do next, well, you just keep doing what you're doing and have fun at it. And get over all the people that you might bump into at work.
That's right.
Amen.
And it will be that you shall... Okay, we did that. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed at the brook Cherith, which flows in the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So, you know, just when you think there's no way to take care of you, the God will find a way.
Amen.
God will find a way. In my first few years in the Lord, I knew some, you know, I meet various people and preachers and stuff, and I had several friends that had stories of no food. We prayed, and as we were praying, the door knocked, and here's the fried chicken somebody brought us, stuff like that. Well, most of us need more than fried chicken. And over time, you don't want to be needing fried chicken every week. You want to go ahead and move on in your faith to to have the fried chicken when you need that without having to pray for it. But anyway, you got to start where you're at and grow your faith and start trusting God. Like my friend David Horton, he said he when he was a kid, his dad was out preaching. And no food in the house. And so mom got the kids around the table, set the table, and started praying in the name. They had no food. Preacher family. You know, this is back in the 50s, 60s. And so the 50s. And so they started praying. They're all holding hands at the table. And David said, he said, man, they all had their eyes closed and their heads open. I'm looking around thinking, what? This is crazy. There's no food. Why would she bless the food? Well, as soon as mom ended the prayer, the door knocked, and some neighbor had brought all sorts of food over. Well, that'll change a kid, you know. What'd that mean? What happened? Well, she put the sickle in. Mama put the sickle in. They needed some emergency harvest. This was a pretty uncommon harvest. They needed food right now. Let's go ahead and step out in faith and set the table. See, all miracles, you can find the principles followed. Every time I hear a miracle testimony, it's not just, oh, God is good. What I come away with is not, oh, praise the Lord, God is good. I'm always coming away with, God is good, and I want to know exactly how that happened. And what faith was seen? What did they believe? What happened there? See, and when I read Bible miracles, you got to find out, you got to investigate. You don't always know every detail. Sure, God knows a lot of the secret things. He's not going to let us know, but the things that are revealed belong to me. I get to know some things. I get to replicate some faith. You can have miracles like they had, but you have to replicate the faith they had. You have to detect and see in here, what did he do that worked? Was it just all up to God? Not really, because he had to hear from God. He had to obey God. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and stayed by the brook. Ravens brought him bread. Verse 7, it happened after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And Elijah got all discouraged and said, Lord, I thought you told me to go over here. No, this is life. God tells you one thing. That's not the last thing God's ever going to tell you. That's not the last leading he ever wants to give you. Just because you told you one thing at one time doesn't mean that's the end of your life. The brook dried up. He needs to hear from God again, doesn't he?
Yes.
That's how we are. We got to take it step by step. Here's 1 year of my life. Here's 10 years of my life. Here's the next 30 years of my life. Here's the final 20 years of my life. You got to hear these things. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now God's going to get other people involved. Not just birds. Did you know that other people are involved in your harvest?
Amen.
You got to be okay with that. That God's commanded some people to do some things, to open the doors or be support to you, whatever the case may be. He's commanded an employer to like you. I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Like, this is my last supper. I have nothing for you, mister. I have last supper for my kid and I, and then we're dead. The drought has killed us. But God had already put in her heart to hook up with Elijah. See there? So no matter what the case may be, no matter if it looks like it's the end of the line, there's an answer for you. God has a plan. He has an answer. Don't worry. Well, the deadline's coming. Don't be moved by the deadline. Just be ready for the unction, ready for the leading, ready for the word of God, ready for faith to arise. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. So she obeyed the prophet. She obeyed God, basically. Elijah was the commander to her. God got her heart ready, but Elijah gave her the command. What was the command? Did I read the command? I didn't read the command. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. I want to shrink your last supper. I want part of it. And bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. How rude. He's a guest. He should have taken the leftovers. Here he is commanding her. Well, that's just how it feels sometimes. It feels like, what would God put that on me for? I can't afford that. Do it first. Amen. Obey God first. Go ahead and let go. Don't hold such a tight grip. Just obey. Watch what happens. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. That's a lot of days. Many days is at least 8 days. How do you know that? Well, I just know that. Verse 16, the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. You and I got to have a word of the Lord. We had to have a word from God. We've got to have something to put our faith on. We can't just drum up things. We can't just blindly float around trying to trust the Lord without fear. You got to have a reason not to fear. You got to believe the word of God. Mm-hmm. And there's script. You could just use scripture sometimes, but there's other times he's going to want you to follow the Spirit. Amen. Especially as you grow in the Lord, more and more you're going to have to be in tune with the Spirit, or you will miss out on the extra abundance that's prepared for you. There's a lot of covenant blessing and abundance that's prepared for us that we never get to because we don't follow the Spirit. There's seasons of our life that never actually begin because we didn't obey the last word in the last season.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Wow. Exactly. Yep. That's why he told Brother Hagin, he said, many ministers never get past the first phase of their ministry. What? Well, same goes for non-ministers. You may have a season of life that God's expecting you to be in. And he's not going to let you get there until you go back and obey that the last thing 15 years ago. Now, I hate to make it sound so strict, but that's the thing that pleases God, that we get things right. Some people want to skip all the character building years and just go into the glory. And he'll never let you get to the full glory unless you go back and fix the character flaw, the flaw. The little thing that's in your heart that doesn't belong, the thing that makes you ineffective, the thing that kind of rottens your fruit. Until you go deal with that, you don't get to have anything extra. Well, I wanted to be a CEO. Look, you didn't sweep the floor properly. Faithful in the little, ruler over much. These are principles that God's not going to give up. Because you're pretty. We come up with reasons why he should skip it, you know? And if you can't go back and sweep floors in order to prove yourself, fine, at least repent of it. At least acknowledge it with all your heart and say, Lord, I blew it for 5 years being unfaithful, and I am very sorry. I will sweep floors better next time if I ever get to. Repent at least. He's not a taskmaster that puts no way out for you. Hey, if you can't make up for 15 years ago, at least repent. Get your heart right. Hallelujah. So, the miracle didn't stop according to the word of the Lord. All right, turn to 2 Chronicles 20. Let's see another one here. Yeah, 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. What's he doing? He's going to seek the Lord. Skip to verse 14. So they prayed, they sought the Lord. Verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. So here's the prophet. Okay, so Jehazel, the son, he's a prophet. He says, listen, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. What's God doing? God's getting their attention. Yeah. Reminding them there's a way if they stick with him. Tomorrow go down against them. They'll surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you'll find them by the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You'll not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So here's the command from God. He says, you're going to go out against them, but he says, stand still and you'll see. Don't be dismayed. So he's got several commands in there about don't fear, don't be dismayed, go out, but stand still. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground in Judah and bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You hear God's word and you worship him. Hear God's word and get excited. Obey. Humble. Something. Amen. Then the Levites, they stood up to praise the Lord. All right, verse 20. So they rose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear, O Israel, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. All right, so notice that little statement there. You shall prosper if what? If you believe in the Lord your God and believe his prophets. Now, listen, some have tried to pull that into today and elevate prophets and say, if you obey the prophets, you'll prosper. And so prophets sometimes use that so that anything they say goes. No, you can't do that. You have to understand prophets in the Old Testament are very different than prophets in the New Testament. The power upon them and the gifts they have are very similar. Prophets see. They know things. Seems to be in a different just beyond the veil. But the command and authority on prophets is different. In the Old Testament, prophets were given to the entire nation of Israel or Judah. Or prophets were sent to a nation to command and direct and force the will of God, basically. They're not given to nations today. Prophets are not given to entire countries today. Amen. Prophets are given to the church. Jesus gave prophets to the church to edify the church and perfect the saints and prepare us for the work of the ministry. See the difference? Also, today, we don't need to wait for a prophet to say something.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, nobody had the Holy Spirit. Nobody was saved. Nobody could have God live in them. Nobody could hear the voice of God in their spirit. They had to have somebody tell them what God said. You and I don't need to tell what God has said. We don't need to wait for some guru who hears God's voice to tell us what God wants me to do. Oh no, that's very dangerous. Now, God can confirm through one another. He can instruct. He can give revelation and help edify and inspire and all that. But you and I can all hear from God. So what the way we translate it into New Testament is, believe the Spirit, follow the Spirit, and you shall prosper.
Yes.
Back then, the Spirit would come upon prophets only. Sometimes kings, sometimes priests, but primarily prophets. Now He comes upon all of us.
Amen.
So you don't want to get Old Testament-y and say that. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
But the principle still remains. Believe in the Lord, believe His voice, and you'll prosper.
Right.
That passes through the cross. And when He had consulted with the people, He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and those who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. That's a great fight. Just stand there and watch them kill each other. But what'd they do? They obeyed God. They obeyed the word from the leader. And then they sang the shortest song in the world. No producer had to grab the lyrics and turn it into a single. They got it from the Lord. They sang two verses and it was over. I don't know if that's all, but it looks like it is. So some people say, look, all you got to do is sing. If you want to get delivered, just sing. Well, a little more to it. You need to hear from God. You need to hear the command from God. You need to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
If you're going to get victory, you're going to have to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
You're going to have to seek the Lord in prayer and in the Word, and then hopefully you'll hear His Spirit soon. Pray in tongues. Get sensitive. Spend a little time looking for the Lord and just putting yourself there in case He wants to tell you something particular. Then you hear from Him. Then what do you got to do? Then you got to obey. Then you got to praise Him. The praise part is this whole idea that, you know, I heard from Him. He told me what to do. I did. Glory to God. I believe Him. And I know He's coming through with what He said. You see the whole picture of faith right here. Praise the Lord. All right, turn with me to Matthew 17. Matthew chapter 17. I'll just tell you this one, not to read all the scriptures. Remember, Israel got put under hard burden and labor by the Egyptians. And they put a lot of, they were the taskmasters over Israel. So they worked for hundreds of years, 400 years, you know. And they were slaves. And the Egyptians made it harder and harder upon them. And so they worked all that time. And then it was time to get delivered. So the Lord sent plagues, told Moses to tell Pharaoh about all the plagues. And then it says, the Lord, through Moses, told them, go get all the gold, knock on the doors, tell everyone, his neighbor, to give them the gold and the silver and all the jewels. Remember that? The children of Israel would not have come out of Egypt with money if they had not listened to God and obeyed Him. He had money waiting for them. But they had to go knock on a neighbor's... Can you imagine? Hello, neighbor. Can I have all your gold, please? Well, God prepared it all. He prepared this miracle in this whole nation because He can do that. And all you got to do is obey that. It could happen for us. He tells you some simple thing that's kind of strange. Just do it. Now, if you hear a bunch of strange things and try them and they didn't work, then you might be strange. You do have to be honest with yourself. Because, you know, we humans and Christians especially got a big imagination. I've heard Christians imagine a lot of fruity little things in the name of the Lord. The problem is trying to talk a fruity Christian out of what he thinks he heard the Lord say. So I adjure you, admonish you, plead with you, please be honest with yourself. We don't want to be flaky spiritual people. So you do want to test your spirit. You want to practice these things. You want to, matter of fact, you actually want to prove them out before you tell people. Amen. Think about it. You think you hear something from God? Prove it out in your life before you go telling everybody. God may lead you to do some things that are a little strange for miracle's sake. Do it a few times. See if it works. See how well you're actually... Because if God tells you something, there'll be some fruit there. You won't have to dream up the fruit. Sometimes we do it and we dream up the craziest fruit you can possibly imagine. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 24. When they came to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, yes. And when he came to the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Now, in America, you're supposed to take it from everybody. But in the kingship, you know, you give special privileges. And Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. I love this passage. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you'll find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. You need tax money? What do you need to do? No. No. See how Christians are? We want a method, man. We want it. We want a pattern, man. Just tell me, I'll do it. This is what I'll do forever. I'll go drink at the brook forever if God tells. No, no. What do you need to do if you need tax money? Hear from God. Obey God. He may tell you to go fishing. He might tell you to go to work. Simple thing. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that Jesus would know that would happen or command it to in the process. It's a miracle because Peter obeyed the word of Jesus. Remember when Jesus' mama said, hey, they don't have any more wine. Jesus said, whoa, it ain't time. Mama, it's not time. What have I to do with you? My time has not yet come. And then Mama says to the people that didn't have the wine, she said to the servants, she said, whatever he says to you, do it. Why? Because Mama knows. What he says goes. So Jesus commanded them to go fill it up with water, and the miracle happened. Same for us. What do I do to get the miracle? I got a problem. What do I need to do? Whatever he says. Whatever he says to you, do it. Now he might say, go read Ephesians chapter 3.
Amen.
Or he might just simply tell you, go read your Bible. He might go tell you to read Proverbs. He might go tell you to listen and watch the last sermon at Houston Faith Church. He might tell you to go hang out with Christians more. He might give you some life obedient command. He might give you a general direction. You'll have to follow it. Because he may not tell you Ephesians 3. And if he does, he may not tell you which verse. You get it? Or he might tell you a verse. Go read it. Well, I'm just going to... He might let that slide once in your life. But don't rely on that. Be a little bit more skillful in following the Holy Spirit and recognize he can lead me properly. I'm going to kind of go with him. Now don't, listen, to follow the Holy Spirit, we don't sit there like this. I'm trying to hear from God. That's not how you hear from God. First of all, you got your fingers in the wrong spot. I need to hear from God. And what you need to do is just quit thinking. But don't stress out about that. Don't make God say sentences to you. We don't sit there stressed out, praying hard, making God say sentences. That's when we make it up. As soon as you think you're going to make God say a sentence, He's not. He's going to need you to get familiar in here. Follow the Spirit in here. The other thing I wanted to show you in this little passage is just for fun. Jesus said, who do the kings make take the taxes from? The sons are strangers. Well, strangers. And then Jesus said, well, so sons are free. We're free. But so we don't get in trouble, we'll pay the taxes. Isn't that right? We're free. We're not under the rulership of the government. You need to know that. We're sons of God. But we're going to obey the laws of the land. We don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to offend them. Fine. We're going to do what we got to do. But you need to know who you serve. It may look like you serve the government, 6 months out of the year for some people. But you don't. All right. Turn with me to Luke 17 here. Oh, no, let's go to Luke 9. Luke 9. Just following God. You know, this is a no-brainer. You're going to obey God, follow the Lord. But I want you to see how important it could be for your financial harvest. You know, a lot of times people want to just kind of float through and do money their own way. You know, they got a decent job, just do money my own way, leave God out of it. You know, I don't need to do too much. But that's not right. That's not any fun. Why don't you get God involved in there? Why don't you start, doing some shocking things in the name of the Lord? Why don't you start being more generous? Why don't you do something, so that you almost have to trust God? Oh my gosh, what's he talking about? Well, just you want to stay in faith. You want your faith to grow. You want to believe God.
Right.
I recognize this. When I was at my corporation job, I got a degree. I went and got a great job in corporate America, and I had it made. And then I got into the kingdom and realized, you know what? I don't know how to trust God for money. I've been trusting my background. I've been trusting my employer. I'm trusting how well I do at work. And I realized what a change it was going to be for me to start changing. To start trusting God. And I went through a little season of that. Well, then I had to leave my career anyway, so that was kind of a no. I had I mean, I was forced into it eventually. But I recognized before I did that that this was going to be a project for me. You got to recognize your deficiency and then take some steps toward it. I'll tell you the other part of it. You know, I was always thinking I was going to collect money and be a millionaire by age 35. That was my worldly goal, okay? And so when I got in the kingdom, man, I got so happy to be saved and so thankful I started giving all my money away. You've heard me tell that before. Just giving all my cash away, giving all my... And I remember thinking this one time. I thought, wow, I'm never going to be able to accumulate any money if I just keep giving it all away. I thought this kind of goes opposite the way I was headed. I didn't stop. I just recognized it. I was doing things that go contrary to the world's way. Everything in the kingdom is backwards. And then it dawned on me, I'm planting seed. I'm planting seed for the future. That was one of the reasons why I knew I'd never run out of harvest. John, what did I say? John 9?
Luke 9.
That's what I meant. Luke 9. Verse 12, when the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we're in a deserted place here. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. You know, he might tell you something impossible, right? Have you ever felt like that? Well, that's how he does it. You know, most of the miracles in here are impossible. Even just go down and wait for the birds to feed you. That sounds pretty impossible. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so. All he did was he commanded them, they obeyed, and then we get a great story in the Bible. And he made them all sit down. They made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves, 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them. Gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude, so they all ate and were filled. And 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. Notice how there's stuff going on. For miracles, there's stuff happening. Commands, obedience, stuff going on, people serving, people working, somebody doing something somehow. That's how miracles happen. It's never just, you know, the tree grew in the backyard overnight and the beanstalk went up and there went... There's stuff going on. It's natural stuff that almost looks natural, but you know that God did it. Look at Luke 17 here. Verse 5, and the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So he took out his magic wand and waved it in. Now, faith doesn't come because you pray, increase my faith. If you say, increase my faith, the next thing you can expect from him is a teaching or a command or something. Verse 6, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. All right, so you see, you know, here's an act of faith. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree. If you just take it to its simplest form, what Jesus is doing is commanding us to say some things. Yeah. He's given us the authority and the right to use our faith by saying something. Amen. Our putting in the sickle requires us to say something. Amen. Not sit there and wish, not sit there and hope, not just sit there and wait, but to say something. Amen. Sometimes, right. Matter of fact, sometimes that's the only act of faith you can do at the moment.
Right.
You know, we've talked about establishing a savings account, an investment account. Okay, that's an action you can take. Somebody told me that during the church service, they got on their phone app at their bank and set up a savings account.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. That's an act of faith.
Amen.
That's putting in the sickle. We're obeying God. We're setting up. We're preparing for harvest. You know, most people just don't prepare for harvest. We don't prepare in our minds, our hearts. We don't prepare in our bank accounts. We don't have a plan. We don't have a project. We're not prepared for harvest. Why would God give you extra harvest if you don't know what to do with it? Well, just to make me more comfortable. That's not a good enough project. Most people want more money just to be comfortable. Just to have more comfort and more peace. That is not the purpose for money. You're supposed to be comfortable and content regardless of how much money you have. You're supposed to be at total peace because you live with Jesus.
Amen.
See how we have to start thinking God's way, preparing for harvest the right way. Most poor people have no purpose for harvest. And poor is relative, you know what I mean. People that seem like they have lack in their life don't have enough purpose. Even if they have the standard disclaimer, well, I want to give more to the kingdom. That's a wonderful goal, but be real careful with it.
Right.
I've seen people get messed up with that outward goal. Deep down, secretly, you have to detect if you have that other part of it. And I want a lot for myself, too. See, that you can't, you got to disconnect those two things. Okay, so Luke chapter, he said to say something. So you're going to have to start saying something. That's part of obedience. You're going to have to start saying right things about your finances. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You will have to believe in the power of the tongue. Sometimes Christians get all excited about that message at first, and then after 2, 3, 4, 5 years, they have more faith in natural things than they do in the words they speak. How do we know? Because they don't ever speak anything of faith. They don't ever say anything by faith. The debt is so big, it speaks so much louder than what their little mouth could say, that they don't say anything. Or they go through life and endeavors and business and work and everything, just going through the motions like everybody else without declaring where I'm headed, what's going to happen, speaking to the bank account. Speaking to the bank account. When the truth is, they sometimes are speaking to the bank account the wrong way. Well, I just don't know why we can't ever get any extra. How come every time we have a little bit of savings, something always goes wrong? Yep. Praise the Lord, I agree. This is stuff. This is like, I mean, this is your life. And Jesus said you could say to the tree and it would obey you. Remember when Jesus cursed the fig tree, it dried up from the root and didn't produce. Well, if by saying you can dry up a tree, then by saying you could do the opposite and create a tree.
Amen.
If you'll say the other stuff and the good stuff, you can create fruit, create your harvest. We're going to have to obey God. The story, I've actually seen the photos from a newspaper back in the 1980s where Norval Hayes, some of you know the story, we have a friend that actually drove by and saw this miracle. But back in the 1980s, I think in Florida, they had this big freeze coming. And it was going to be the worst freeze. They were going to lose all their oranges one year. And it was a big known thing. All the public and all the farmers were scared. And Norval Hayes, who's one of our preacher acquaintances, I mean, we don't know him, never met him, but love him. You know how that is. And but he's a faith guy, a miracle guy. Just a really fun minister, and he was part of the reason why the church got so strong in the 80s, 90s, 70s, 80s, 90s. But anyway, he was a businessman as well, and he owned some orchards, some orange orchards. And the freeze was coming, and he was, you know, just like everybody else, alerted to it. But he was in a place where he wasn't going to take it. He wasn't going to lose his crop. And so he drove by in his car, and he stopped his car and he spoke. He said, every tree in here, I command you to live. And every fruit, nothing dies. Everything lives here. And he commanded what he wanted to happen. Well, the freeze came and killed every single thing in the land. But it didn't kill his oranges. He had fruit on the vine. It killed everybody. There's a picture in the newspaper. His is the only one with fruit. Every other field is bone dry sticks and killed their trees. His tree lost all of it. All of his trees lost all their leaves, but they came back the next year. Nobody else's did. and he didn't lose his fruit. He had to speak to it. You know, at the church here, there's been time through the years where the money on the paper didn't quite match up with what we wanted. You know, red or parentheses are no good, you understand. And then we never missed a bill or anything. But, you know, we've got a plan and we've got expectation and we're expecting, you know. And so every once in a while, there's been a little bit of a looking like it's got some brackets coming. And accounting would bring us the paper and say, and a few times I felt that I had to do this and I would get it and I don't want to deal with that. I don't have to deal with that. I just looked at it and said, "You're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar." That's it. I'm telling this thing how I'm not going to play little games with this money thing. I don't have time for that. Just command it.
Amen.
Shut up. Never had the brackets. That never actually happened. So that's just simple things. You know, Joni and I, we do that every time we get the mortgage for the house. We get that paper. I just set it on the counter until we both get a chance to pass by it and curse it down to zero. Now, we are still paying our monthly note. But, you know, you get your heart into it and you start, you know, just kind of, it's an expectancy and it's putting your words on it, life, and putting some life on there. But you do have to, you can't just look at your bills and curse them. You do have to pay them. Brother Shambach used to have occasionally at the tent meetings, he would have one night where he had a debt burning service where people could release their faith and you know, expect something. And so he'd have these barrels set up and they'd have everybody come bring their bills and throw them in the barrel and set it on fire and burn it as an act of faith, as just let's imagine this thing disappearing. But we always had to warn people and give the disclaimer. Now, just give the copy of the bill, not the envelope that needs your check. That's, on the other hand, you don't want to be flaky and write faith checks. Well, I'm writing this by faith. I sure hope the money shows up by... No. You can write your faith check. Just hold on to it. Put it on the refrigerator. That's your act of expectancy, but don't be sending hot checks everywhere. Praise the Lord. So your saying must line up with your praying. You've been praying for money, you better start saying the same thing. You better start standing on a scripture, quoting a scripture, go ahead and admitting what God said He was going to do, He's going to do. Thou hast caused me to hope in your word. Remember your word in which you have caused me to hope. Well, what word are you thinking on? How do you know for sure? Where do you have some faith anchored? This is how we make it. There's a law. There's a law of confession. Okay, life and death are in the power of the tongue. There's something about our mouth that saves our soul and causes every other miracle. Something about our words really do matter. And if you will obey that and follow that system of God, you'll see miracles. You don't even have to really think about it too much. Just do it. Well, I don't know if I called my bills a liar. I don't know what that would do. Just do it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You can't really necessarily figure it out. Kind of like the law of aerodynamics. Doesn't make any sense that a huge plane could fly. It makes no sense at all to the common person until you put the system in motion. You put the physics in motion. You get enough speed with enough lift, and all of a sudden the air just pushes you up. That doesn't make any sense. But when you fly in a plane, you don't have to figure it out. You don't have to stress over it. Well, I don't know how this is going to work. I just don't know how this plane's ever going to get in the air. You just do it. Same thing with these things. And I think God loves that. He loves us to take us at His word. Go fishing if He told you to go fishing. Don't go fishing if He didn't. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm done for tonight. You got it?
Yes.
Miracles aren't far from us because the Holy Spirit's in us. So let's trust Him. Let's trust Him. Let's trust Him. Trust Him. Praise the Lord. If you're about to make a wrong move, trust Him. If you're about to make a wrong move, detect and see if your spirit has a little problem with it. Could be a small thing, big thing. If you feel a little uneasy in your spirit, then just say, okay, forget it. I ain't doing it. But what are they going to think? So what? But I already told so-and-so I was coming over. Well, I made a promise. Well, you need to keep your promises, but you also need to realize that sometimes you might have made a promise out of order,
right,
and that the Holy Spirit is going to stop you anyway.
Right.
So we do have discipline in our lives, and the righteous man will swear to his own hurt and not change.
Right.
But if there's danger coming, the Spirit might let you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So anyway, praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Word, for the Spirit. Help us, God, receive the harvest. Help us know when to put the sickle in. Teach us these things. Train us. Don't let us miss anything. I pray that if people have made missteps, that they'll know it, admit it, and just get right back in the plan of God for their life.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Help us, help us, help us, so that we can prosper and have good success everywhere, all the time, because we're in the will of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we're not going to listen to the devil. We're going to listen to the Holy Spirit. We're not listening to the world or to our flesh. We're listening to the Spirit of God. Thanks, Lord. Thanks, Lord. Brinkeche, brantasa, mantasa, kadeve, debova, degelevezata. Teze motovo, teze motovo. And do not have any shame. Do not feel any shame for mistakes that you've made. Don't feel any shame. I don't see shame. I don't look at shame. I have freed you from shame. Prevosike. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Prokish ganazeg levo ba maragese. Denkite vrom bam fatsaka. Okay, I see this. All right. So I see the Lord just showing me this. He has commanded for every one of us a means to sustain you. He's commanded a way for you to be sustained. He's commanded the place, the means by which He will supply everything for your life. He's commanded it. You be there. You be there. Trust that. Trust Him. Don't question so much about everything. You're in a decent place, a good place, a not so great place. Don't question all that. He's commanded it. You just follow the Spirit. Trust. Flourish wherever you're at. Don't question. Don't look over the fence all the time. Don't be always looking at something else, never satisfied. He's commanded for you a means to sustain your life, flourish you. Every one of us has that.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.